Living in California is changing along with the climate. What used to be a fire season is now more like a fire year. And when wildfires break, they are big and destructive, like the car fire that burned 1,000-plus homes in the Redding area 2 months ago. The upward trend in fires and other disasters means the insurance industry is paying out more money in claims. And it's the job of the state insurance commissioner to assess what that's doing to the industry and ultimately to the people who depend upon it. So Commissioner Dave Jones ordered a report which was released a few weeks ago. It's called Trial by Fire, Managing Climate Risks Facing Insurers in the Golden State. Dave Jones is the California Insurance Commissioner and our guest on The Exchange. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Did it just become obvious over time that such an analysis was needed?
Well, this has been going on for some time, as you say. The incidents, fires, the frequency, severity, unpredictability of fires in California has been growing. And as you pointed out in the opening, we no longer really have a fire season. We now have a year-round fire season. And so for some time now, we've been getting complaints from homeowners about the increased challenge they're having getting home insurance because the insurers are reacting to the increased severity and frequency of fires by, in some cases, deciding not to write insurance for some homes, and in other cases, raising prices, and in some cases, doing both. So we're not at a crisis yet, but the trends are moving in the wrong direction, and the experts, the scientists tell us that climate change is happening, that we're not doing enough globally and nationally to address it. Temperatures will continue to rise, and that means more catastrophic weather events and more fire, and that has implications then for people's lives and communities and also for insurance availability.
Commissioner, by the numbers, how sharply have insurance claims risen in California in recent years?
Well, just to give you some order of magnitude, the 2017 fires in total collectively represented the worst insured losses in California's recorded history. Some $12.3 billion between the October fires and the December fires of 2017. That was followed by the Montecito mudslides in early 2018. That was about $730 million in insured losses. And remember, these are insured loss figures, so the economic losses are several orders of magnitude greater than what's insured because not everything is insured. And then, of course, we had the terrible car fire and the Mendocino complex fire earlier this year in July, and that caused about $845 million in insured losses. The 2017 fires resulted in about 6,000 residential claims for total loss. That means basically 6,000 homes were completely destroyed, a little over 6,000, actually closer to 7,000. And then partially destroyed, there were roughly 40,000 or so homes for which there were claims of one sort or the other where the home was partially destroyed. Those are really big numbers. And that means lives lost, property lost, homes lost, and communities forced to deal with tragedy.
We had a couple of years when there actually was some rain falling, and so the fire activity at least might have seemed, by comparison, a little less. So has there been any leveling off at any point, or has this climb in claims been generally pretty steady for the last 10 or 15 years?
Well, it does ebb and flow, but the overall trajectory over time is more frequent fires and more severe fires. And so there are some years where the number of claims and the dollar value of losses is considerably less. But if you look at it over time, it's getting increasingly worse. And insurers are responding to that by deciding in some cases for some homes not to write insurance or not to renew insurance or to raise their price. And the legislature has passed laws that gives the insurance companies the discretion to decide where and when to write insurance as long as they're not doing so in a discriminatory way. And so we're starting to see an increase in the number of complaints from homeowners in what's called the Wildland Urban Interface, where there's about 3.6 million homes or so. These are counties like those served by your station, counties in the Sierras, counties along the coast where there's a high degree of brush or forest land. And the insurers have rated about 1 million of those 3.6 million homes as being high or very high risk of fire, and in some cases are deciding not to renew insurance or not to write new insurance. Now, no insurer has left the state, and this is being done home by home. The insurers are using risk models that assign a risk score to individual homes, and then in some cases saying we're not going to renew, in other cases say we're not going to write new insurance. The real canary in the coal mine is what's called the insurer of last resort, which is the FAIR plan, F-A-I-R plan. And it's a basically a nonprofit that was set up by statute that is required to write fire insurance to any homeowner, regardless of where they are. And so I've been watching their policy counts year to year very closely, because if we saw a dramatic increase in their policy numbers, that would tell us that people are not able to find traditional admitted home insurance or what's called surplus lines insurance, which is another market people can go to. Well, right now in the wildland urban interface areas, there's roughly 38,000 or so policies written by the FAIR plan versus some 3.6 million homes. So that gives you some perspective on the degree of the problem. For those 36,000 people or so, it's a problem. It means they weren't able to find traditional insurance, but everybody else is usually able to find something. The year-to-year increase in those policy counts is maybe 1,000 or so, not insignificant, but we're not at a crisis yet. What I worry about, though, is that as the insurers react to the 2017 fires, we're going to see more homeowners told they're not going to be renewed. We're going to see more homeowners who are buying a home told they're not going to be able to get insurance, and then they're going to have to go to the FAIR plan. Now, the good thing about the FAIR plan is you can get basic fire insurance from them, but it's not subsidized. And so the price reflects the risk and the cost. There's no taxpayer subsidy associated with it. But you can then go out and buy a more traditional insurance policy on top of the FAIR plan fire policy to cover all of your other liability so that you can have complete coverage. And so I've spent the last 7 years, 8 years encouraging insurers to offer those umbrella policies, as well as encouraging them to continue writing in all areas of California.
We're talking to Dave Jones, the California Insurance Commissioner, about risks that continue to rise as California's climate change. He ordered a report that came out last month called Trial by Fire, Managing Climate Risks Facing Insurers in the Golden State by Evan Mills and others. You can join us on the exchange to talk about insurance risks, California and elsewhere. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Commissioner, what was the charge to the team that prepared the report?
I asked that they look broadly and comprehensively at what's happening over time, what's driving fire risk in California, and what some of the solutions might be. And we really appreciated the work both of the Department of Insurance, but also UC Berkeley School of Law, Center for Law, Energy, and the Environment, and Dr. Evan Mills, who's a principal at Energy Associates. They were the principal authors of the report. One of the recommendations, which is a recommendation also contained in an earlier report that the Department of Insurance issued back in January, goes to trying to make sure that insurance is available for people. And I mentioned a moment ago that insurers are using risk models to assign a risk score home by home, and then deciding based on that risk score whether to write insurance for the home. Those risk models don't have to be filed with the Department of Insurance, and they're not. And we were able to get our hands on them and take a look at them. And most of those models, unfortunately, that the insurers are using don't take into account the things that homeowners are doing at the encouragement or request of local fire officials to better defend their homes, whether it's using roofing materials that are impervious to embers or protecting the eaves of the home or creating defensible space, all of the things that fire officials tell homeowners to do, you don't get credit for in these models that the insurers are using. And in addition, we discovered by looking at the models that they don't take into account things that are that communities are doing to try to better protect themselves. So that's a big problem.
So none of the things come into account. I mean, you can go back to the insurance company and say, look, we've done this at our house. We have, you know, there's no tree within 100 feet of the house. We keep the brush down. The community does this, that, and the other thing. We have a good roof. And none of those things matter to the insurer?
That's correct. The insurer can still decide not to write you insurance. And if they're using these risk models that we've seen that don't take into account those things that homeowners and communities are doing, then they're in all likelihood doing exactly that. They're not taking it into account. So one of the recommendations in the trial by fire report and the earlier report in January was to require the insurers to file the models with the Department of Insurance and give the Department of Insurance the ability to review the models and make sure that they are working as they should and taking into account all factors that might contribute to the risk that the home faces. So I, as insurance commissioner, proposed that as a bill for the legislature, but unfortunately none of the legislators introduced that legislation. So we're disappointed by that. We had another bill idea, which is referenced in the report, which would be to legislatively set a standard for home defensibility that homes would meet, hopefully, and if they met it, then the insurance company would have to offer them an insurance policy, and that proposal was also not picked up by the legislature either. And that's largely because the insurance industry has a lot of influence in the legislature and would prefer not to have its discretion in any way impinged upon. And so these are important ideas and ideas that I hope a future legislature will pick up, but so far they've not been picked up.
Was the FAIR plan a legislative move to balance out that discretion that the insurance industry has been given?
The FAIR plan was established 40 or 50 years ago, and its principal genesis was the difficulty of homeowners in urban areas like Los Angeles, where there are some neighborhoods that are subject to high incidence of arson. It was the difficulty of homeowners in those areas in finding insurance that was the main driver of the creation of the FAIR plan, but it was established to make sure that there was fire insurance anywhere in the state. And as it turns out, about two-thirds of the policies are written in urban areas, and about a third, as I said, 36,000 to 38,000 are written in rural areas. So interestingly, the majority of the FAIR plan policies are still written in urban areas, but we're starting to see those rural numbers creep up. And I anticipate that we'll see those numbers continue to increase as we see the impacts of changing climate and more fire and more severe and unpredictable fire in California.
That's an interesting adaptation, though, to hear of an urban plan being adapted for rural use over time. Let's take a call here from Steve in Wairika. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with California Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Yourself?
Well, I'm glad I was listening to the radio this morning because I got a serious problem that you guys are dealing with here. And I bought some property about 3 years ago, and it turns out, I didn't know this, so I found out later, there's a notice of violation of Public Resource Code 4290 requiring the driveway to be paved because it's before they could have got a certificate of occupancy when they built it because it's so long and so steep. The Cal Fire trucks, you know, won't make it up the driveway. And no one's doing anything about it. No one seems to care. And the guys just, you know, basically now they impose the driveway paving on me. It's like $28,000. But the bottom line is no one cares. I mean, if this place started on fire and fire spread and the trucks couldn't get up here and the canyon burns down, who are you going to blame? Me? I'm not going to stand for that.
All right, so you can't get a certificate of occupancy. And can you get insurance?
Sure, either because of it.
Mm-hmm. FAIR plan, you say, wouldn't insure it?
Because of the Cal Fire notice of violation.
Okay, thanks for that, Steve. Appreciate it. Dave Jones, any thoughts on what you're hearing here?
Well, I'm not an expert in the statutory requirements visited upon homeowners in certain areas, but I do believe it's the case that if your property is in violation of some state or local law, then the FAIR plan can say, well, we're not gonna insure until that local law violation is lifted. And it sounds like the gentleman, unbeknownst to him, bought a property that had this condition on it, and the condition hasn't been met.
All right. Moving on into the general realm here that you're dealing with in the report, which again is called Trial by Fire, Managing Climate Risks Facing Insurers in the Golden State. There's a quote in the executive summary that really jumps out. A +4 degrees Celsius world is not insurable. Now, this report was closely followed by the IPCC report indicating that it's nearly impossible for us to limit temperature rise where science thinks it should be. Are we approaching then an uninsurable world?
We're not there yet, but all of the trend lines lead in a bad direction. As the scientists associated with the IPCC report concluded, as you mentioned in the report they released the other month, the countries of the world, including the United States, are not doing enough fast enough to reduce the emission of greenhouse gases, and as a consequence, the temperature is rising, is projected to continue to rise, and is projected to go above the 2 degrees Celsius increase that many, if not all, scientists believe is a real tipping point. So the short answer is yes, if things don't change dramatically in terms of reducing greenhouse gas emissions globally, then we are going to see temperatures rise. We're going to see more catastrophic weather events, including fire, and we're going to see more insurers making decisions not to insure homes that are subject to that risk. Now, again, there's about 3.6 million homes in the wildland-urban interface. About a million have been rated as a very high or high risk. A lot of those homes are in the areas served by your radio station. I know that homeowners and property owners in those areas are already facing challenges, and it's going to get worse if countries around the world, including the United States, don't act more aggressively to try to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Now, there'll still be insurance available elsewhere in the state where those risks aren't faced, but then those areas also face risk, those other areas potentially face risks of flooding and drought and sea level rise associated with climate change too, or at least impacted by climate change or made more severe as a result of climate change. And so those areas face other kinds of risks also that might have impacts on insurance availability in those areas.
All right. This is not entirely a bleak report. I mean, obviously, the on-the-ground reality can be fairly grim at times, but there are some things in here that provide a little bit of hope. There's a new best practices are emerging section of the report. Can you give us a rundown of things the insurance industry is up to help mitigate climate change?
Well, you know, the insurance industry has a lot of expertise and experience with understanding risks and devising insurance to meet risks. And one of the exciting developments is insurance products that themselves are designed to try to help address the impacts of or mitigate the impacts of climate change or climate risk. And one example is a product sold by Swiss Re, a big reinsurer, that basically is insuring a natural coral reef off the coast of the Yucatan Peninsula, and that reef functions as a storm surge barrier to protect all of the properties along the Yucatan Peninsula. And the hotel owners and property owners in that area, along with the government there, have decided to collect a fee from the commercial properties and use it to help protect the reef, but also to buy this insurance policy to insure the reef so that if a storm comes and damages the reef, then the insurance would pay out in order to restore the reef, because the reef itself has a benefit in terms of reducing the impact of storm surge. And storm surge and more frequent and damaging hurricanes is another impact of climate change. So that's an example where insurance has been used as a tool to try to help address some of these issues.
To help push some policy and some actions. So you pointed out in the report that California is 7% of the global insurance market. As the chief regulator in this big insurance market, are you satisfied that the insurance industry is doing enough to prepare either itself and its customers for climate change?
No, I think that there are things that could be done to better align insurance availability with encouraging homeowners and property owners to take steps to better defend their properties. And so one idea is setting a standard for home defensibility and then requiring insurance to be offered if that standard is met. And that can be a very, very high standard, but that would align defending one's home and helping to make one's home more resilient from or against fire with insurance availability. The models is a big issue. We think those ought to be provided and reviewed by the department. That's an area where the insurance industry continues to oppose. Then the other side of the insurance business is the trillions of dollars that they have in reserves that they invest. And a big part of the job of insurance commissioner is making sure that the insurance companies have sufficient reserves to pay future claims. And they do, and we make sure that they reserve enough money and are reserving more money to pay for these bigger losses. But insurers are not looking at the potential risk to those investments associated with climate change. And so a lot of what I've been doing also as insurance commissioner is encouraging insurance companies, and in fact, we took a very sophisticated model and ran it against the portfolios of the 600 largest insurance companies to look at what sort of risk their investments face from climate change, whether it's a physical risk. Let's say they're investing in real estate along the coast, and that investment.
Okay, so not just losses, but investments. See, Commissioner Jones, we're out of time, but thanks for joining us to talk about the report. It's called Trial by Fire, Managing Climate Risks Facing Insurers in the Golden State. Again, Commissioner Jones, thank you for joining us.